things. Okay, so this is from the Or Gedal Yahu in the main section on Chanukah, in the Mo'adim volume, on page 55. He has like longer essays, which are sort of one long hemshech, sort of independent essays, and then in the back, at the end of the Chanukah section, he has really short pieces, Likutei Diburim. Okay, so this section is called Choshech Zu Yavan. We know the Medrash well that he's going to start with. Isa b'Medrash, the Medrash tells us, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Pasach Krab Malchus. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish began his presentation of the Pesukim in Bereishis by connecting it to the Arba Malchus. V'aret ha'isa sohu, zo Malchus Bavel. Shenemar re'isi asaret v'hinei to. Ubohu, zu Malchus Madai. Shenemar ve'avhilu lahavi es Haman. V'choshech zu Malchus Yavan. Shech shichu einayim shal Yisrael b'gzeru seyen. Shaiso meres lahen kisvu lachem al karan ashur shein lachem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. So again, Tohu is Bavel. Bohu is Madai. Choshech is Yavan, because the Yavanim said to the Jewish people that you should write on the horn of an ox that you have no chelek in the God of Israel. Very interesting. Well, karan ashur, what's there any with the karan ashur? Okay. Al Pnei Sahom, Zu Malchus Rasha, this is the evil empire, better known to us as Edom, Rome. She'ein la cheker kamo ha'tahom. That it has no, you can't wrap your head around it. It's endlessly deep, like the depths of the ocean. Tahom means the depths. So this is the goal that we have, like, we just don't know when it's going to end. We're just waiting and waiting. We can't fathom, like, Hashem, what's the plan here? Right? Ein lo cheker means it's beyond inquiry, it's beyond understanding or investigation. Matahom ein lacheker, just like the parts of the ocean cannot be understood. Afarishaim kain. So too, these wicked people in our world today are beyond. It's just beyond. We can't understand. You can't understand it. So this is all Galus Adam, the pains of Galus Adam. Veruach Elokim rachefes apnei amayim, zorucho shal Mashiach. And then, of course, at the end of the four exiles will come the Geula Shlema, the spirit of Mashiach. And what merit will Mashiach come? Bischus hatshuva, shenemshales kamayim, shenemar shifchi kamayim libech adkan. Chanukah is a time of tshuva. That's why people have a minhag to pour a little bit of water. If mayim is one of the things that corresponds to tshuva, so people put a little bit of water into their cups as they fill them up with oil. Oil, of course, will rise above the water, but there's water represents Torah. Water represents tshuva. So the spirit of Mashiach is hovering on top of our Torah and our tshuva, and that's what we're hoping for. Okay, but Yavan is compared to Choshech. Yavan is compared to Choshech. You can submit in writing. Yeah, of course. What?
Karen Ashur, 861.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Okay, so Yoni points out correctly that Karen Ashur is 861, right, which is Gematria Beis HaMikdash. It's Gematria Matis Yahu. The B'nai Yisusper talks a lot in Chanukah about 861. Right, so Matisyahu, Bimei, Matisyahu, Ben Yochanan, Matisyahu is 861. Beis HaMikdash is 861. That's why the Yavanim violated the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why they wrote, Kisvu Lachem al Karan Ashur. You should write on the Karan Ashur is Gematria 861. So 861 is definitely a big number on Hanukkah. And I'm glad you found it on your own. But yes, you're not the first Jew in history to find it. But you found something good. You did find something good. Okay, Chazal gilu lanu ki adalin in yanim, tohu, bohu, v'choshech, v'tahom. Shayu be'ez b'riyas ha'olam. These four sources of negativity or emptiness that existed at the beginning of time. Heim b'riya shal heder sheyesh ba'olam. What does heder mean?
Heder? Turn?
Heder with an ayin. Hey, ayin dalid resh. Heder is the opposite of mitzias. Heder is nothingness, but he's calling it interestingly a bria shel heder. Bereishis bara Elokim eisa shemayim veisa aretz va'aretz ha'isas tohu vavohu v'choshech. Hashem created tohu and vohu. Hashem created a void, a space, an emptiness. It's a bria shel heder. It's a creation of nothingness. Now that sounds to be a contradiction of terms, right? But it's what it means is that there are things that exist which need to be removed or a void that needs to be filled. The heder zeh kiyam l'chol yamos ha'olam, and this this emptiness exists from the beginning of time. It's woven into creation. As the Ramban explains, Shekol Masha Haya B'Sheshes Yemei B'Reshes, whatever existed in the 6 days of creation, Nischalik La'Sheshes Alafim Shana, is divided over the 6,000 years of creation. Right? Meaning the 6 days of creation correspond to the 6,000 years of the world, like the Gemara says in both Maseches Avodah Zarah and Maseches Sanhedrin, that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. V'chol ma sheyiyeh v'hasheshes alafim shana shel kiyum ha'olam hayenichlal ba'oso vav yamim. So everything that's going to happen, right? So meaning, Bohu we're saying is Bavel. Bavel, they destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, that's much later. But already from the beginning of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the possibility of being a Galus Bavel, and a Purim story, a Madai, a Hanukkah story, a Yavan, a Choshech, right? A Galus Edom, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Tahom, that's where we are today. Uvemeshech, Yimos Ha'olam, Nizgal Leheder Zeh, Shal Tohu, B'Koach Malchus Bavel, V'chein Kulam, and each one will play itself out in its time. Ki adalid malchios heim dalid kochos harashi ish ba'olam. V'heim neger oso dalid dvarim shal hedir sheyesh bebriya. Again, the four exiles correspond to the four sources of emptiness in the world. V'chol echad miyuchad b'mina u'meshuna zemizeh. And each one has its own qualities, its own nature. V'eilu dalid dvarim shal hedir. And these are the four sources of nothingness, of emptiness. Is labshu b'dal malchus, and they take on the form of the four exiles. Umavua b'maharal, v'kach chasu b'sfas emes, ki tohu bohu heim neged bavel umadai, ki ba'osu zman lo hayo adayin abeis ha-mikdash banoi. Right? Why do you have, why is tohu and bohu a complete emptiness? A tohu and a bohu, why does that correspond to bavel and madai? Because the Babylonians, they destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. So when there's no Beis HaMikdash in the world doesn't exist. Very deep idea. I spoke about that a couple of years ago on Tisha B'Av. That the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is not just like, oh, okay, it would be nicer if we had a Beis HaMikdash. The world is thoroughly broken. Metzias is lost. Right? The opposite of Heder, again, is either Havaya or Metzias, existence. So the Maharal and the Sfas Emes say a very deep idea. That when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Babylonians, and when the Purim story took place when... between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, so those are both periods without a Beis HaMikdash, so therefore they're referred to as Tohu and Bohu. Mamish, complete emptiness. Without a Beis HaMikdash, the world is a very empty place. V'haisa tekufa shel Tohu v'avohu. As opposed to what? As opposed to Choshech, Yavan, Galus Yavan took place in Eretz Yisrael with a Beis HaMikdash, but they had just what? They had extinguished some of the Ur of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash existed. The Shemen was defiled, and the spirit of Torah was struggling. Right? But we had a Beis HaMikdash. We wouldn't call it a time of Tohu. It's not a complete void. We had a Beis HaMikdash. We're still in Eretz Yisrael. We hadn't been exiled from the Holy Land. But there was a sense of Choshech, a sense of disconnect. Again, Choshech means that you can have something very good right there, you just don't see it. Not that it doesn't exist. You just can't interact with it properly. Yeah.
So, Galus means that not only do we not have actual binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, but that, you know, I mean, could we say that Hashem's presence wasn't, I mean, how can we say that, you know, we have this Tohu Bavo, but in between them is Purim? And don't we say that Purim is like Adar, the Aluk L'Sholom Dar, that like Hashem
right.
Is Dafkar,
right.
More here on Purim.
Right. A person has to know that he can always be connected to Hashem, right? And maybe it's, say the response to the lack of Beis HaMikdash is to sort of bring Hashem into your personal life, because again, you don't have the Beis HaMikdash in order to encounter Hashem. So is that advantageous or is that not advantageous? Okay, like, I think about that. Like everything, it's a mile in a chisaron. The chisaron of the Beis HaMikdash is that you start to think that Hashem is only found in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The mile of the Beis HaMikdash, of course, is that you can go and have that type of open encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You feel the Ashras Hashchina. So in a Chanami, it's not in that void a person can encounter Hashem in that void, and he has to work to do that and to believe that he can do that. But on a superficial level, it's a time of tremendous emptiness. There is no center of Jewish life, and there's no Beis HaMikdash. Yes, Ellie?
I think I might have an idea for that.
Go for it.
It's like if you have a phone and you can always just call somebody, you might not call something because you, like, in your mind, you're like, I can always just call.
Right, knowing that I could.
If I, like, now that I don't have my phone, like let's say you're going to be, you know, much more strict and you're going to write a letter, like, every week or something because you know this is it. This is all I have.
Right, right.
I have to get it to them.
Right, very good. Right, we take it for granted sometimes. And that's why Hashem shook it up during Bayis Sheni with Hanukkah. Hashem threatened to take away the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem was meramis, says, if you don't get serious, if you don't appreciate the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to take it away. So the Bach says. The Bach says that it was our laziness, it was our complacency, it was getting used to having a Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem, you know, was meramis to us. I'm starting to pull away the Beis HaMikdash. I'm taking the light out of the Beis HaMikdash, which is that connection, that bright, you know, illumination of the Beis HaMikdash, to feel it in a deep way. Yes, Shmuel Tzvi? Right.
You physically kind of move. So
right.
Like that's similar to the darkness. Right?
Exactly. Right. It's a darkness. It's a paralyzing darkness. It's very good, actually. That fits very nicely. Right. The choshech can be so thick that it prevents a person from even being able to move. That fits very nicely with this galus. The galus of Yavan is very much connected to when Yaakov goes back for the pachim ketanim and he gets injured and he gets struck in the kaf yarech. Right. The kaf yarech, the Svarim say kaf is the opposite of pach. The goal is to take the kaf and turn it into the pach shaman. The Svarim talk about the difference between kaf and pach. If you look in the Netziv, in the Hamak Davar, he says, why did he strike him in the v'yigal b'kaf yarecha? Why did he hit him in the kaf yarech? Why dafka b'kaf yarech? And the Netziv says, because that socket, that point where like the top of the leg connects to the upper part of the body is really the part that propels you forward. It gives you motion. It allows you to keep moving. And therefore the Netziv says that the Malach was trying to stop Yaakov's forward motion. So again, if Choshech has this ability to stop us literally from moving, right, if we don't have Torah, Chukosai Telecho, that's how we get around. To a Melim B'Torah. You're busy with Torah. And the Jews have become very stuck in their place. So yeah, Choshech, the thickness of Choshech is interesting to think about. Yeah, you want to say something?
I was just thinking when Harris asked the question that the whole piece about in Munisi Techa about the Maris HaMachpelah in the time when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash,
right.
Dafka, that's like the place where we find Hashem.
Right. There's always ways to find Hashem. But when Chazal are calling it Torah, I think it's still a very insightful thing that Maharal and Sfasemes are saying, right? That there has to be this unbelievable sense of void in our life when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The sense of, like, we don't know how to go home. We can't find our house. We're lost. That's a big deal. And again, if you look at some of the kinos on Tisha B'Av, it's very clear that there's that sense of complete loss of existence with the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not just life goes on, but it's not as good as it used to be. It's ki'ilu, there's no longer a metzias of the world. V'shibud malchus yavan, next paragraph. V'shibud malchus yavan, hay miyuchad b'mina. Again, one of the things we have to think about that's so remarkable about this malchus of yavan and the way that we were in exile, ki haya galus be'eish shayu Yisrael shriyim alad masam. It's a galus that took place in the land. That's such a scary idea. You could be in your homeland and not be there. Because shahaya lahem ha-beis ha-mikdash. You could have a beis ha-mikdash and not really have a beis ha-mikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the place that gives light to the whole universe. That's one of the big shailas about the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll talk about this week. Shabbos Daf Chav Beis. Does Hashem need us to light a menorah? Hashem lights up the whole world, and more than that, the Beis HaMikdash is the place that shines light out to the world. The windows of the Beis HaMikdash were arranged in such a way that they radiate light outward. They're not bringing in light from the outside. They're sending light out. So, to think that we could have a Beis HaMikdash that dwells in the dark, that's very scary. Yavan wanted to extinguish the light. Interesting lashon, actually. I'm just thinking about it now. Shechichu einayim shel Yisrael. They wanted to darken our eyes. It's interesting, no? The idea of darkening eyes. Darkening eyes means that the light could be, a blind person could be sitting in the brightest room or in the sunniest day, and it's there, he just can't interact with it. Right? His eyes are darkened. It's not that the world has become dark, it's that his perspective has become dark, unfortunately. He himself can't see. So the Yavanim, what's ironic, again, you destroy the Beis HaMikdash, that's everyone's in the dark. But being the Tami of the Beis HaMikdash and taking the light out of Torah is making us blind to what we have. And that's sort of the reality. We had become blinded to what we had. Yeah. By Yitzchak, does it say what? Shichu? Maybe? What do you want to say? I mean, Chazal talked in this way about, yeah, that they refer to... What do you think? Are you trying to connect Yitzchak to Hanukkah? Okay, go for it. Everyone's connected to everything. Just because we say Hanukkah is Yosef doesn't mean that Hanukkah is not Yitzchak. Okay? If Yitzchak is blind but has a certain different type of vision, maybe that makes him very Hanukkah-dick. We'll have to see. Yeah?
Doesn't someone say that the Choshech in Mitzrayim was actually light?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They say that the Rav Pinchas Koritzer writes about that. Yeah, my brother has a nice piece on that. That the light, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala, an unbelievably bright light in Mitzrayim, which became a blinding light. Yeah. So too much light and the inability to process the light can itself be blinding. That's a very good point also. That's a very good point.
What about the Choshech that was like the Yamzul? Is that the same thing?
Maybe. Was it the pillar of fire that created the blindness, the darkness? Again, too much light and the inability to absorb it is blinding. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, let's keep going. So why does it say Yechshichu Einayim? So it says Zohar Gedalia, I'll tell you very simply. Chazal say Elashon of Yechshichu Einayim Shal Yisrael, where it's underlined, Hi Abisa Mikdash Nikra Balashon Ayin. Abisa Mikdash, over here. Where it's underlined. The Beis HaMikdash is called the eyes of the Jewish people. Hashem Baruch Hu says that Eini V'Libi Sham Kol Hayamim. It's the place where I place my eye. That's why, by the way, when Klal Yisrael first went into Galus Mitzrayim, the Lashon of Rashi is that what? Nistamu Einayim V'Libam Shal Yisrael. Galus is a state of what? Of the closing of the eye and the closing of the heart. When my eyes are closed, and my heart is closed, that's not a good thing. That's a very not good thing. So the Yavanim wanted to, so to speak, blind that eye. And isn't it interesting that we refer to what? We refer to the Sanhedrin as the eyes of the Tzibur, the eyes of the generation, because they're the ones who guide us with their vision. The Gemara says in Psachim that tzaddikim are like a watchtower; they have a bird's eye view of things. It's the idea of, you know, a certain Das Torah that a person can have a certain level of just ability to see things. And that was what the Or HaGanuz was. To be able to see Misofa, Olam Vatzofa. Most of us have a very limited range of vision. The Tzaddik can see things way beyond. The Chavetz Chaim was sitting learning with Rav Elchanan Wasserman. The Chavetz Chaim was sitting and learning with Rav Elchanan Wasserman on Erev Yom Kippur. And all of a sudden he looks up, he sits up, and the Chavetz Chaim says, "The Rav is a rice." The Rav went out. Rav Chanan said, "I'm sorry, what?" He said, the Rav is free. And they found that afterwards that what? They found out that Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky had been freed from his captivity in Siberia. So how does the Chavetz Chaim see that? How are you sitting there learning the Chavrusa with the Rav Chanan Wasserman, and all of a sudden you sit up, yeah? Right? That's the vision of the tzaddik, that's the Ein Ha'eda, mamish. That's the eyes of the tzaddik.
Like the Arizal with the okay. Crow
or
whatever.
With the what? It
was a crow or a raven or something.
What's the Maisa?
It was he was learning with what's the name of his talmid, Rav Chaim Vital.
Yeah.
And Rav Chaim Vital wanted to learn something, and the Arizal knew that he could only allow him to learn certain things. And he's
okay.
Like bad things will happen if you learn this. And he was like, "I want to learn it anyway." He tells him that whatever he teaches him, whatever that piece of Torah is, and then like a crow or a raven or some kind of bird flies by, and he goes Baruch Dainemus because his son had passed away.
Yikes.
Yeah. crazy stuff.
Okay. Yeah, tzaddikim see things. Tzaddikim can see things. They know things and before it happens. Well, Rabbi Nachman said when the Berditcher passed away, he said anyone who had eyes to see saw the world got dark all of a sudden. He just saw it. He's like, the world just got dark. Rabbi Yitzchak was nifter. Okay. Saying the Baal Shem Tov and the Rechaim HaKadosh also, they were seeing each other and they knew, and, you know, it's wild stuff. Okay, let's turn the page. Malchus Yavon, Lohaya Badaitam, Lahachriv is based on Mikdash. It's a typo. It says Laharchiv, but it means it's supposed to be Lahachriv. The Yavanim did not want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'gamlo ratu lakar as a Torah mikol v'kol. V'adrabba. They didn't want to destroy the Torah. Adrabba. Al yadam hayi ha-pirsum shal Torah shebechsav b'shim lashon. Torah shebechsav, they were into it. U'firsum was yofi shal Torah. The Yavanim, in fact, we can write a Sefer Torah. You can write a Sefer Torah in Lashon Yavani. It's an amazing idea. Avalhim ratu as ha-ur ha-pnimi. But the Yavanim wanted to what? To extinguish the inner light of Torah. Sheheir b'ha beis hamikdash, that light that shines out from the beis hamikdash. Ha'ora zu Torah, ha'ora shebetorah. Ezeh ha'yikr ha'milchama, ki yavan ratzu ba. Anyone got the next word? What did the Yavanim want?
Culture.
The culture of Am Yisrael. They like, right? To be culturally Jewish. You know? When Eretz Yisrael is reduced to a falafel ball. Like, that's the extent of what Israel means to you. That's tragic.
Blue and white cookies.
Blue and white cookies, yeah. Avalhu b'toras culture. Right? We don't want it to be authentic Yiddishkeit. You could be culturally Jewish. But culturally Jewish is not, you know, is not a contradiction to also being culturally Greek. And the shita of those Jews who had become compromised in their Jewish belief, let's be like everyone else, let's fit in, they'll like us better. They wanted a certain nationality that comes with Jewish identity, but it was a rejection of Kedushas Am Yisrael, the things that make Am Yisrael really Am Yisrael. And that's, of course, a life of Torah and mitzvahs. And you can't have without that. When Talmi HaMelech, when the Gemara says in Megillah and Daf Tes, the Talmi HaMelech put those 70 or 72 different yourselves, sages into a room and told them to translate the Torah into Greek. And they made those changes. So if you look in Maseches Sofrim, it says that when the Torah was translated into Greek, 3 days of darkness befell the world. They translated the Torah into Greek and the world got dark for 3 days. Why 3 days? Why not 7 days? Why not 4 days? Why not 1 day? So I once read a piece from Nassim Gestetner where he said, why 3 days? He says, because Torah has 4 layers to it. Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. The Yavanim said, Pshat we're okay with, Remez, Drush, and Sod. What happens if you translate the Torah into a different language? So you can get the basic storyline, but you can't compare words, you can't make drushas, you can't extract gematrias when you're reading the Torah in Greek. You certainly lose the sod, the inner ore of the Torah. So said Rav Nassim Gestetner, they're connected to 3 days. We're connected to the 3 layers of Torah that were lost, the remez, the drush, and the sod. Right? So 3 days of darkness befell the world. But that's what the Yavanim wanted. You want to make Judaism a cultural thing, that's fine, but not that it should be a way of life. It should be the guiding ore of your life. Okay? Now, these are simple ideas. You'll see the piece is going to get deeper in a few moments. The Iker Kavanas Yavon Afshalo. Now, this actually, look at this line. I want you actually to see this line. The Iker. Rav Gedalia Shur clarifies for us. Afshalo kol Yavani kishahalach lemulchama hiskavin lezeh. When you read Svarim that say, Haman said this and Paro did that and the Yavanim wanted to do this, it doesn't necessarily mean. Because you turn Paro into like this Gevaldik Talmud Chacham, you know? Like Paro had all these cheshbonos, you know? Haman had all these thoughts. And you think Haman's like the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. So lav dafka that he knew exactly what he was doing. But there's certain Hashgacha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who guided Haman in such a way that we can go back and say all the Torah is on Haman. So that's a very important line. He says, it's not that every Yavani soldier who went to the battlefield, right, had this in mind. Oh, I'm going to remove the light of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to extinguish the Pshat Remez and the, you know, the Remez, the Drush and the Sod of the Torah. All the Torahs that we say in every Sefer on Hanukkah, it's not that the Yavanim had it all worked out. It's not that Antiochus said, oh, Antiochus is Gematria Yosef, so therefore I'm Keneged Yosef at Tzadik. And therefore, you know, no, the Bnei Saskhanim Gal and Mukos are going to say the Gematrias, right? But it's a certain Hashgacha Pratis that created these things. Look what he says. He says, Aval Ihu lo chazi mazle chazi. It's a very important line. Anyone remember that Gemara? Ihu lo chazi mazlayu chazi? It's the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Gimel. That even if we don't see something, sometimes your mazel sees something. Why does a person get scared when he doesn't see anything there? Because your mazel sees something. Your mazel sees the shadim that you don't see. The mazel sees things in the world that you can't see. Your neshama has a certain ability to see things that your physical eyes can't see. Okay? So the Yavanim, even though they didn't have these kavanas, but spiritually, internally, they sensed what they needed to do to destroy Klal Yisrael. They wanted to divide, they wanted to separate between us and them. The Havdalah ben Yisrael la'amim, Vayavdel Elokim Esaur Kitov. What's the Gematria? Vayavdel Elokim Esaur Kitov. The Sfarim Sayer Emes. What's Vayavdel? It's one of the first Pesukim in the Torah. Vayavdel Elokim Esaur Kitov. Let's do it together. See if we can get it. That's what the Sfarim say. The Sfarim say, Es Haor Ki Tov, Vayavdel, is 712. Yeah, that's what they say.
Right, but yeah, you know.
So 712 is a lot of things, right? 712 is almost Mahajim and Mahajim. Mahajim and Mahajim is 713.
Right,
8
times Chanukah.
8 times Chanukah. That's the Remez they really say. Es Haor Ki Tov, Vayavdel, is 8 times Chanukah. Eight days of Chanukah. Vayas Kain Aaron, you're telling me? Vayas Kain Aaron. When Aaron lit the menorah, it says about Aaron, Vayas Kain Aaron, Lahagid Shivcho Sha Aaron Shaloshina, Rashi says. Okay, so Vayas Kain Aaron is 712. 8 times Chanukah is 712. Es Haor Ki Tov Vayavdel is 712. Now, what does this pasuk mean? It means that God saw the light was good, and Hashem protected the light, Vayavdel. What are the Yavanim trying to do? Says Rav Gedalia Yeshur, they're trying to tear down la'akuras ahevdol bin Yisrael la'amim. They don't want there to be havdalah. They don't want there to be separation. So this havdalah with the original light is a very critical idea on Chanukah. What do you mean you're different, that you have a unique type of divine protection? That God relates to you differently than any other nation. They wanted to destroy that way of thinking. Why did they tell us to translate the Torah into 70 languages? What's the idea of translating the Torah? Translating the Torah means making it more accessible to everyone. Why should Torah be only for you? If it's nice philosophical ideas, we'll share ideas with you and you share ideas with us. Levata lehevdol bin Yisrael la'amim. Let everyone learn Torah. Like I told you from the Maseches Sofrim, that when we translated the Torah into other languages, right, that caused the darkness to descend on the world for 3 days. That's where the Choshech of Yavan begins. When Torah starts to become something that could be studied by anyone. When the Torah is not an os b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael, we have a serious problem. And that's how you can learn Torah. Torah can be complete darkness. The Gemara says in Megillah, Ora zu Torah. And yet there are people who learn Torah literally like any other subject in the world. That's called learning Torah in the dark. Right. That's a certain loss of the core of the Torah, yeah. We have to always ask ourselves, why are we learning Torah? Right? We speak about this in the Tuesday night share. The Torah is the daughter of the king. You can't take the daughter of the king on a date and just mess around with her. It doesn't go like that. You have to treat her with respect. You have to be serious if you're going to have a relationship with her. You can't just use her and then, like, you know, put her back on the shelf. You have to develop, it's a relationship that's being forged through Torah. So yeah, there is, when we learn Torah entirely intellectually, culturally, that's a misuse of Torah. Yes?
I want to be a little the Torah that you said before, but like, when can you just say that, like, gematria is just like something that happened? Like, I read this book that was just like, it was like Torah code or whatever, and it had, right, the, like, grid or whatever, and it was,
yeah,
like, crossword puzzle style. I'm like, yeah, you can do that with anything.
Right.
Like, everything's like different lengths. And
I have a long answer to this question, which I don't want to give you right now, but I'm happy to talk it out another time. But you're right. There were Rishonim who were very against gematria because it could be too hefker. And some people are way too hefker. Some people are too hefker. I spoke to someone sent me a voice note the other day. Someone who I love. I hope he won't listen to this year, but if he does, he should know that I love him. And because I'm about to say something, I don't want to upset him or hurt him. Right? But he sent me this whole long shtickel Torah, this beautiful shtickel Torah connecting Chanukah to Serach, right? Serach Bas Asher, and this whole long thing, and this whole remez based on Serach. Serach is 268, and he had sent me a 3.5-minute voice note, and I listened to it, and I tried to take it seriously and to listen to it and to try to extract, and I sent back to him. I thought there was a lot of good points there, right? But part of the problem with his mahalach was that he was spelling Sarach with the samach, and look up how to spell Sarach before you started your whole shtickel Torah. So that's an irresponsible thing to do. That's an irresponsible. And people sometimes say gematrias irresponsibly, and people write Torah code books when they're not coming from the right place. Now this guy happens to be a very fine person, a good guy who learns this tzvarim seriously, but that's a potential like big chil Hashem. If you say that over your shtickel Torah, you know, to someone, and then they're like, you didn't even look up the pasuk.
You tell him.
Yeah, I told him. I told him he spelled it wrong, and you have to be more careful about these things. You have to be careful. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is not my own gematria. If I say my own gematria, it has to be like mahadrin and mahadrin. Yeah, it has to be mahadrin and mahadrin. Because otherwise, it becomes silly games. Now, I think there's a lot more to say about that in defense of gematria, and in understanding the critique of gematria, and whether the Torah codes, you know, can mean anything. There's a lot to think about there. But it has to be. There are rules. It's not hefker. There definitely are rules. And sometimes people take too many liberties, I think. You know. And you have to see what the tzaddikim do and walk in their footsteps, cautiously. Or not say your own things. You don't have to try to say your own ramazim. Some people have a kalach of saying ramazim, some people less so. It's pretty obvious whether, you know, when people say it and they're like, well, that's... You're saying too many... You're using too many... You know? So... But this is the one that tzaddikim bring. Esa or kito ve'avdel is gematria 8 times Chanukah. Tzaddikim bring it. Again, is that my whole Yiddishkeit going to be built upon that? No. But it's a nice remez, and if you explain it well in the context of the breakdown of that havdalah ben Yisrael la'amim, that the Avanim were working so hard to do, by not destroying us, but by trying to just redefine the rules of how Torah is learned and how the Beis HaMikdash functions, I think it's actually a very nice remez. Yeah.
Heard before that we're still struggling with this galus of Yovan. If we're still today,
it never really ended.
Right.
We're still in the dark.
Okay, so would you say like
tzaddik b'munaso yechya?
Like I feel like there's been an increase in a conversation about hashkafa, and like where we stand. You know, like who are you?
He's saying, "Ben Yisrael la'amim."
No, I mean, I'm saying. Within,
what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that.
That's the darkness of Yavan.
I feel like that's still. Is that like the culture?
Again, we're still very much fighting. Yeah, we're still fighting to make sure that Torah doesn't just become a cultural thing.
Right, because I think when some people hear like you say that, they're thinking like, "Oh, like the YU, like Bible professors, like, they're just studying for it to be, like, oh, part of their, like, it's stimulating intellectually and it's part of the culture, just to, but I'm thinking even, like, within our circles of, like, you know, what hashkafa are you? That type of conversation, I feel like, it makes up so many of the conversations between, like, people nowadays.
Right.
And, you know, if you're maybe looking for a mate.
Yeah.
That's what the conversation is.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's very.
To what degree do we engage culture around us, and
yeah,
to what degree
I,
are
what,
we?
What's the help? What's
okay,
the
these help? are serious things we have to think about on Hanukkah. I'd say it's easy to get up and give like fiery shmuzen on Hanukkah, like against anything, you know, secular. But you have to remember, a Torah can be written in Greek. Right? I mean, that's the Gemara's conclusion. And Yafuso shel Yefes yishkon ba'olei shem, that the splendor and the beauty of Yefes has a place in our Beis Medrash. So it's not like so simple, just like everything's usher and everything is watering down Torah. Right? Again, we're Jews in this shir who learn Hasidus, like Dir B'tachtonim is very much about engaging reality. So it's not just, you can give a very simple, fiery shmuzin on Hanukkah. And it's easy to pick on YU on Hanukkah also, for some people. No, I'm being serious. People, you know, it's a time where people talk about.
Listen to the reminder is the Fabringen here in the beginning of the month. He spoke about what is Chacham Sivanis, and it's not necessarily the Bible classes. It's learning Gemara in the Beis Medrash, not thinking about
right.
Hashem.
It's also right. Right. Right.
So we used to be an Am Skula, now we're an Am Skulas.
Very good.
A lot of shtick.
That's true.
For example, if we go to one of these classes and take it,
that's exactly
example,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Would we be obligated
no,
to
that's
say?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
He was like, he's talking about.
I don't know.
Like a,
it depends a lot on your own kavanah,
like,
meaning
like,
someone could be
like,
presenting an idea one way,
like, everyone has their own
and you could internalize it a different way.
I'm a schooler.
Rebbe, we had this bacher in yeshiva who he would do this shtick where he wouldn't do gematria. He would do, his last name's Bart, and he would do bar gematria, and there were gematrias that just didn't work. Like at the end of the year, like everybody was, you know, giving speeches or whatever, and he got up and he was like, Mevaseret is gematria, like Torah or something like that. And one of their Rebbeim, like their Rebberg, was sitting there and he's like, no, it's not. just kept going. We're like, whatever, Bar, go for it.
Well, that's what happens. Litzanis.
It's very important.
Litzanis wears these things down. Yeah. Okay, fine. Let's keep going. Bottom paragraph. Siv, Pasuk says in Shemos Chav Dalid, Vayiru Es Elokei Yisrael V'tachas Raglav Kamasa Livnas HaSapir, one of the most difficult Pesukim to understand. The very strange Pesukim at the end of Mishpatim. Vayiru Es Elokei Yisrael V'tachas Raglav Kamasa Livnas HaSapir Ke'etzam HaShemayim L'Tar. It's like a description of like seeing Hashem's Kisei HaKavod and seeing this sapphire stone beneath Hashem's feet. Is such a strange pasuk. Rashi says, Rashi brings the Gemara in Sota. What does it mean, Kamaisa Livna Sasapir? Interesting. Just realizing something. He haisa lefana b'shas hashibud lizkur tzarasim shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a brick in front of him. Why did Hashem have a brick in front of him? A sapphire brick. You know why? Because Hashem wanted to remember the bricks that we were building when we were suffering in Mitzrayim. Shayim shubadim b'maisa levenim. That we're busy, right? B'chomer levenim. Ke'etzem ha'shamayim l'tar. Yishinig'alu haya or v'chedva lefanov. So while we were suffering, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, kept a brick in front of him. Hashem was with us, imo anochi b'tzara. But eventually we came back into the light with our redemption. What's the pshad? Peirusha. In that moment, when we came to the realization that Hashem was with us in Mitzrayim, that Hashem is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Saraf, Anivelo Ashliach, Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayim, like Hashem told Yaakov Avinu, then we realized there is something different. God takes care of us in a different way. There is a hashgacha that the Jewish people have that the rest of the world doesn't have. Shagam be'ish shaklal Yisrael heim begalus b'shibud ma'isa levenim heim tachas hashkachas aborei. That even in our worst, most broken moments, when we're enslaved to the world power of the time, Hashem is with us every step of the way. V'chol agalus hu lezachich es gufam, l'man yihiyu v'uyim achakach l'madregas gedolos. And all of it is a prerequisite to help us to get ready for the awesome madregos that we're going to receive by Kabbalah Satara. And that's what it means. V'zeu k'maisa livnas ha-sapir, sh'ha-maisa levenim ha'i k'dei she'iru achakach k'even sapir, that the maisa of the suffering of the building of the bricks was what? K'livnas ha-sapir. It was for the even sapir, the sapphire. You know what was made out of sapphire? The luchos were made out of sapphire. You know what Moshe's stick that he took us out of Mitzrayim with? It was made out of sapphire. V'chein amru chazal sh'agolus nikris zriya. The Gemara in Pesachim says, Golus is like planting a seed. Like we learned last week many times from the Maggid of Mezrich. The seed goes in the ground, it decomposes, and then it grows. That's how it happens. Klum adam zorea sa v'chulu. Elisha golus hu lahotzi peros gedolos. You got to plant in order to produce big fruits. That's what we came to realize through the experience in Golus. Even though we're in Golus, nistamu einayim v'libam shel Yisrael, our eyes and our hearts are closed. But when we come out and we open our eyes again, vayiru es Elokei Yisrael, and we're able to see once again, we recognize the hashkacha that Hashem has over us. And what? Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. What did the Yavanim say? Kisru al karan ashur. They wanted us to stop believing that we have any type of special relationship with Hashem. And the way to do that is to extinguish the light of the Torah, to close the eyes of Klal Yisrael, to turn the Beis HaMikdash into a Tamei Dika place, and to get us to write on the ox, the horn of an ox, right? We have no Shaychus to Klal Yisrael. Okay? Okay. Let's go a little bit further. Bottom paragraph. They were trying to get us to reject. They wanted us to write a declaration that we were what? Removed from that hanhaga, from that protection. That God's name resides upon us more than anyone else. As the Maharal explains in Netzach Yisrael, Ki masha amru kisvu lachem al karen ashur. Why a karen ashur? Well, why ashur? Hakavana hayi lahazkir baza eschet ha'egel. They wanted us to remember the chet ha'egel. They said, you have maybe had the opportunity to be Hashem's beloved, but you ruined it. You cheated on God at the chuppah. The way the Medrash, the Rabbi Nachman quotes, you were making googly eyes at the bridesmaid while you were standing under the chuppah with your kala. That's very inappropriate. We're literally at the wedding, under the canopy, and we already had our eyes looking off to the chet ha'egel on the side. Hakavara hayel hazkir b'zeh chet ha'egel. Right? What's the kisvu al karen ashur? V'habir b'zeh hu ki ramban mevar chet ha'egel shekla yisrael ratzu b'mutza. What is chet ha'egel? Let's not make it into avodah zara. Let's learn it like the Ramban. That what chet ha'egel is, that we want an intermediary. We want someone to connect us to Hashem. We don't have a direct relationship with Hashem. That's chet ha'egel. What are you talking about? You have a direct connection to Hashem. Every people, every human being on planet Earth has an indirect connection to Hashem. Every nation has a malach that serves as its intermediary. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need an ego. You don't need a stepping stone to a relationship with God. That's Klal Yisrael. That's what makes us unique. As the opposite of the Hashkacha Pratis that governs our lives. Turn the page. Top of the next page. As the opposite of the Hanhaga Shal Hashkacha Miyuchedes Shal Klal Yisrael V'chinas Elukei Yisrael U'misham Ratzu HaYivanim L'Katreg Al Hanhaga Zuh. The Yivanim wanted to uproot that Hanhaga, that precise connection that we share alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So far in the piece, we haven't seen anything that's radically different. Okay? But the last stretch, what we're going to learn now, you're going to see some really deep ideas. Probably some very new ideas too. V'gam masha amru chazal, in the next paragraph. V'gam masha amru chazal halashon. Hechshichu einayim shel Yisrael. Gam kein mechuvan al derech hanizkar leil. What does it mean to close our eyes? Let's understand this Indian of the eyes much better. Ki halashon einayim kvar amarnu shekai al beis hamikdash. The beis hamikdash, we said, is the place where Hashem's eyes are ever present. By Aini Velibi Sham Kola Yamun. Shabesa Mikdash Nikra Ayin Velev. The Beis HaMikdash is called the eye and the heart of the universe. The Meshech Chachma explains, what do eyes represent? What do heart represent? And by the way, think about your tefillin. Think about your tefillin, which are worn where? On your arm, by your heart, on your head, between your eyes. So says the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Bo. You need to know this Meshech Chachma. It's very, very important, Meshech Chachma. Ki ha'ayin mora al hashkoch el yona. What does the eye represent? The eye represents the watching eye, Hashem keeping an eye on you. What does the heart represent? The heart represents the lev mora al ha'ava asher hi b'lev. Is the feeling of love that Hashem has for you. V'lachein amar ha'meshech chachma, sh'atfilin shel rosh, which represents the tefillin that's worn where? Between the eyes. Hakavana la'ashkocha pratis she'esh la'kadosh baruch al klai yisrael b'yoseh. We wear tefillin every morning between our eyes, representing that Hashem's watchful eye is upon me. And we wear tefillin on the arm, opposite the heart, to remind us that Hashem has feelings of love for us. What's the difference between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh? Amazing Torah, look what he writes here. Aval habayis nischalik ledalad batim, the tefillin shel rosh has four separate compartments. Why? Ki hashkocha eina b'shava l'chol adam. Because the Hashkocha Pratis is not the same for every person. Now, this might rub you the wrong way, as Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, because Baal Shem Tov taught that, what do you mean Hashem's Hashkocha is for everyone? This sounds more like the Rambam in the Mukhim, where the Rambam describes different degrees of Hashkocha. But I think we can all agree that even if we take a more Hasidic approach to Hashkocha Pratis, there are still, right, levels of Hashkocha. Meaning, in the Rambam's version of Hashkocha Pratis, a rock doesn't have Hashkocha Pratis. In the Baal Shem Tov's version of Hashkocha Pratis, a rock has Hashkocha Pratis. But would you not say that God's relationship with you as Hashkocha over you is more precise than that of a rock? Hashem's Hashkocha is even for a rock, as the Baal Shem Tov taught. Hashkocha Pratis for all, for a bird, for a rock. But obviously, a Jew is going to be higher than a bird. And at Tzaddik, I don't think I'm saying anything crazy when I say that a tzaddik has a more direct connection to Hashem than me, in a certain way. On some level, yes. There's no difference between the tzaddik and me. That's what the Baal Shem Tov came to teach. That everyone has equal Hashkocha Pratis. But the Dalit, the four compartments of the Tefillin Shel Rosh, corresponding to the Tefillin worn between the eyes representing God watching over you, so the Tefillin Shel Rosh has different compartments. Meaning there's different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over a person. Shal tzaddikim yesh Hashkocha b'yoser. Eine Hashem el tzaddikim, the pasuk says. Or like we learned many times in the Yismach Yisrael, I'll be with you, pasuk in Divrei Yama, if you're with me. Right? Hashem will be with you, biyosam imo, if you're with him. So the more you connect to Hashem, the more Hashem connects to you. Of course, you have a base level of Hashkocha Pratis. Every Jew has that. That's when it comes to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Masha ein ken a Tefillin Shel Yad, how many compartments do you have in the Tefillin Shel Yad? Worn opposite the heart, one. You know why? Because in terms of Hashem's love for every Jew, that's equal. That's a very beautiful Meshech Chachma. The Tefillin Shel Rosh means that the way that I intellectually, you could say it like that also, opposite the head, my eyes, the way that I see Hashem, and the way that I perceive Hashem seeing me, that'll change from one person to the next. But the love, a Jew has to believe the same way a parent loves every child equally, albeit differently. I love my children differently. I have a different relationship with Gabriella than I have from Zahava, than Mira, than Yaakov. I have a different relationship. But I love all my children equally. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same way. The Tefillin Shel Yad is one compartment because the Ava hu shava l'chol Yisrael. Ve'ezeh ha'ayin. So this eye, this watching eye, the Avadim tried to what? Tried to close up. Hechshichu eineyem shel Yisrael. They didn't want us to believe that Hashem is watching over us any different than the Avadim. Than anyone else in the world, if God is watching at all. Yes, Dani.
I guess no one ever want this, but is there a concept of trying to reject Hashem's Hashgacha with an individual? Like, if I'm the person who doesn't want Hashem to interact at all with me, is there a way that you can, like, push it off?
Run away from Hashem? Like Yonah?
Not just that, but like I guess going back to the, you know, the Hashem will be with you if you're with him.
Right.
And then also the difference between Hashem's, you know, interaction with a rock and then an actual Jew. everyone.
Right.
Is there a way that you can, that one could, you know, decide to eliminate and or, I guess, in the counter increase their hashkafa with Hashem?
I think so. Hashem, too. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Again, there's a certain level of, you know, the kid can stop thinking about the parent because they hate their parents, right? But the good parent will always be worrying about their child, always be thinking about the child.
Right?
The Kotzker, who said? The Kotzker said? The Kotzker said that the love of a parent for a child is greater than the love of a child for a parent. How do you know? He said because a parent, you can have, let's say a family has 10 children, right? So the parent can take care of 10 children, but then, like, when the parent gets old, it usually takes, like, you know, all 10 children to take care of one parent. Right? So how is it that one parent took care of 10 children, but it takes 10 children to provide for one parent? So he says it's because the love of the parent to the child is such that the parent has more love to give. So a parent can, you know, give out more love than the child can, so to speak, give back to the parent. And the Kotzker said that. So in a certain way, yeah, you can try to pull away from Hashem. Again, it only works so much. Esek Shemayim Shamata, if you try to run to the heights of heaven, I'm there. Im Hincha Sha'ol, if you lay your bed in the depths of hell, Hashem says, I'm also there. Stavar Malachim Kuflamid, something. So you can't really escape Hashem. But you can create a perception of pulling away, and then Hashem will respond. Hashem Tzilcha will give you a perception of not being there. Anochi Hastir Astir. Hashem hides the fact that He's hiding from us. Right? So there's layers of concealment, but Hashem is always watching, peeking through the latticework. Okay? Okay, here's the last major idea for today. U'matzino b'sfarim ha'kadoshim ki adalin malchios heim neged dalet averos chamuros. This is a very deep idea, and again, a very new idea, perhaps. The four exiles, we learned, correspond to Tohu Bo, Choshech, and Tohom. We explained a little bit now, a better understanding of how the Choshech of Yavon works. Choshech does not mean destroying the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't the Tohu and Bohu, which was the complete loss of the Beis HaMikdash. It was just the darkening of the awareness of Hashem in our life, taking the light out of Torah, making us cultural Jews, convincing us that Hashem is not watching over us any differently than them. So, or Kitov Vayavdel, 8 times Hanukkah. Okay, good. We learned a lot of nice things today. But now, let's learn one more four. One more connection to fours. The four exiles correspond to the four big averos. Four big averos. I thought there were three big averos. What are the four big averos? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayus, Shvichas Damim, and Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. The same way the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, Lashon Hara is Keneged Kulam. The Sfarim say that the four big averos correspond to the four exiles. Shaleim nemar yarig va'al yavur. Better you should die than violate. Va'averas lashon hara, which of course we don't necessarily have to die for, although that's an interesting discussion. Ki kamo hadalid malchios heim neged dalid mine rav v'heder sheish ba'olam. So too we have these four averos. Which one does Yavan correspond to? There's a lot of good chidushim that you can come up with here. You can give a whole shir on this topic if you work on it. And it's an ironic topic, you'll see right away. So he says, the Svarim tell us, and again, there's different ways to align the four Averos with, I think everyone holds that Edom, the Galus we're in now, is Lashon Hara. That's why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because of Sinas Chinam, which the Vilna Gaon says is Lashon Hara. But how do you line up the other three? Bavel, Madai, and Yavan. Which one is Avodah Zarah? Which one is Gilui Arayus? Which one is Shvichas Dam? It's not so simple. What's Purim? It's Purim Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayus, Shvichas Damim. What's Hanukkah? What's Nebuchadnezzar, destroying the first Beis HaMikdash? Is that Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayus, or Shvichas Damim? So, Mavuar, we find in Svarim, She Yavan Hu Neged Shvichas Yitam. That Yavan corresponds to Shvichas Damim, which is killing. Right? If someone comes to you and says, kill someone or I'm going to kill you, you have to die instead of killing them. You're not allowed to murder. Murder is one of the big three averos. So Yavan corresponds to murder. Yavan corresponds to murder. You probably would have said the same thing, Rachman al-Litzlan, if you were a German Jew in the 1920s. Civilized Germany leads to 6 million Jews in gas chambers. Such a civilized culture, like the Germans. This is murder? Chmana Litzlan, let's learn it deeply. If he pashtus ain't a move on, pashtub shot, Yavan corresponds to murder. That doesn't sound right. Echba Yavan the Shvichas Dam, how could Yavan correspond to murder? Hello, Yavan, who a culture of Hayofi, Vachachme Agayim. Yavan took the world out of what? The Dark Ages. I'm talking historically. Think about the world before ancient Greece, before Greek philosophy, before the science of Greece. It was mamish the Dark Ages. So how, it's so ironic. Yavan is choshech. However, you have to learn the sugya deeply. You can't just be overly simplistic about it. It's not so pasha that Yavan is choshech. Yavan is the deepest wisdom. It's the closest wisdom to the wisdom of Torah. A sefer Torah, the Rambam passages, can be written in Greek, in real Lashon Yavani, not modern day Greek, but in Lashon Yavani. So what does it mean that Yavan, with its culture, with its advancements in science and technology and creativity and the arts and wisdom and philosophy, everything that Yavan represents, it seems to be the opposite of you know, a murderous, barbaric society. So what's the pshat? How does Yavan correspond to Shvichas Dam? So you have to learn the sugya of Shvichas Dam a little deeper. He says in the last paragraph on the page, Kishin is bonin bezeh nira. Kiyesh kan havana amuka b'mashenikres Yavan b'shem Shvichas Damim. V'yasod hadavar kvar mevur b'mahara. Let's learn the topic deeply. Ki Shvichas Damim nikra b'mashem motzi hadam shu achiyos hapnimi shel aguf. What a weird way to describe murder. Shvichas dam, spilling blood. What is shvichas damim? Why can't you eat blood? Why can't you eat animal blood? What does the Torah say? Why do you need to remove the blood? Ki adam hu what? Hanefesh. Right? Shvichas damim, spilling blood, is not just about killing bodies. Spilling blood is the extraction of the nefesh. It's not called killing bodies. It's called removing the blood. It's leaving just the body. Chanukah is gematria guf. The Greeks were very into the body, but they wanted to remove the blood, so to speak. The blood is the nefesh. Ki adam hu hanefesh. Shvichas dam is the what? Is the extraction of the blood, which is the chiyus hapnimi shel haguf. The blood which is always moving. The blood which is circulating. The blood which is pumping. Ki adam hu hanefesh hu mafrido mehaguf. Right? They wanted to get the blood, the 44 candles that we light on Hanukkah, Dam, 44. The 44 candles we light on Hanukkah. Everyone knows what I mean by 44 candles? How many candles we light on Hanukkah?
36
plus the 8 shamash. Right? You need to have a shamash. So 44, that's what I'm talking about, 44. So they wanted to what? To squeeze out the blood. They wanted the nefesh. What does nefesh stand for? Nefesh stands for ner, psila, shemen. Ner your menorah, psila is the wick, shemen is the oil. Ki adam hu hanefesh. What they wanted to do was extract the spiritual energy of the Jewish. May aguf, to separate it from the body. Hayadeza motzi umot hachiyos mitoch aguf, to squeeze out our insides. Vezenik v'shvichas damim, that's shvichas damim, the extraction of the blood. Hu achiyos hapnimi v'chol kiyosi b'zeh. Kishemotzi achiyos hapnimi nikra b'shem shvichas damim, that's shvichas damim. To squeeze out our inner light, so to speak. That's what it's really about. Turn to the last page. Turn the page. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, he blew into him the spirit of life. Right? It says in the Sefer HaKana, the top line on the last page, Man denafach midilei kanafach. One who blows, blows from within. Which means that when Hashem blew into us the spirit of life, Hashem gave a piece of himself to us. And that's what makes us categorically different than other human beings who just have the tzelem elokim. We have something more. We have a chelak elokami ma'al mamish, exactly. V'zeu achiyas hapnimi sheyesh b'chol ish Yisrael. U'kish mistalik zeh hatzura hapnimis oz nikra shvichas dam. And when you lose that inner connection, that's called shvichas dam. What's the opposite of shvichas damim? What's the opposite of being lifeless is being full of life. Who's full of life? So just go to the left-hand corner, the bottom paragraph, the last paragraph we'll read together today. Hagimol avos heshrishu b'chol adoros hakoach l'umos la'amod, sorry, neged gimol kochos haraha elu. We know that the three avos and Moshe Rabbeinu also correspond to the four exiles. Avraham is Bavel, Yitzchak is Madai, Yaakov is Yavan. How is Yaakov the antidote to Yavan? Yaakov is Sukkis. Right? Sukkis leads into Chanukah. How is Yaakov Yavan? Look what he writes where it's underlined. He says, Yaakov hu midas ha'emes neged shvichas damim. Yaakov is the opposite of shvichas damim. Why? Why? She Yaakov hayu makor achios. Yaakov is the antithesis of death. Yaakov is the ultimate in life. Kamo she'amar Yaakov avinu lo meis. Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara says, never died. Ki hayu meshulo lagamri mikol inyan shel misa. Yaakov is the very opposite of death. Ki hu hayu mekasher hachomer v'hatzura. Yaakov was able to what? To unify his body and his soul. Ad shachomer nishapich hatzura. To the point that what? Not only was his body not antagonistic to him, Yaakov's body was elevated the way it was supposed to be. To tzura. To spiritual quality. Yaakov was a ish tam through and through. Yaakov never spilled his seed in his life. He never wasted any of his inner energy, his inner life force. He was the ultimate. He's the ultimate hero in terms of life, of being truly alive. The very opposite of shvichas damim in all of its subcategories. And that's why, what do we know about Yaakov? Titein, emes, liyakov. Emes. Emes is something that's what? That just is. Emes doesn't have ups and downs. Truth? Truth is an absolute truth. Absolute, forever, eternal. Yaakov Avinu is connected to eternal life. The opposite of temporary life, shvichas damim. Ki emes nikra, kishakol kochosav achitzon vapnimim matimim. Emes is when what? My inside and my outsides all line up perfectly. When my insides don't parallel my outsides, then I'm living a life of sheker. That's what we call emes. And therefore, the opposite of yavan, which is sheker, he ends the piece by saying that yavan comes milashon ona. You know what ona's dvarim is? Ona's dvarim is a person. Ona is a person who speaks what? Deceitfully. Dishonestly. Ona.
Cheating, right?
Cheating a person, yeah. Ona's dvarim. Gemara talks about ona's dvarim. Misleading someone with your words. Yavan is a lashon of ona. It's sheker. The sheker of the what? It's Esav, yeah. It's Esav. It's Lavan. It's the opposite of Yaakovin. Right? Yaakovin is the ish emes. Yaakov Avinu is chai. Yaakov is beyond shvichas dam. Yaakovin lo meis. Okay? So the answer is to have spiritual life, right? The more we can internalize spiritual life, that's, again, it's ironic. Shvichas dam. Yavanim didn't try to kill us. Purim, they tried to kill us, so we have a suda, as the Levush says. Ar Chanukah, they tried to spiritually harm us, so we celebrate with spiritual expressions of Halo Vahoda. But the truth is, Yavan also tried to kill us. They tried to kill us spiritually. They tried to squeeze out our dam. Yadam hu anefesh. All right, so Rabbi, so we have a lot to fight for. Yeah, what do you want to say?
No, I just answered it.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
The Greeks were so materialistic, right? They were all about the body.
That's right.
That's why
Chanukah is gematria guf. It's the Chanukah versus the guf, and that's why Yosef Atzadik is so much connected to Chanukah, because Yosef had the handsome body and the appearance, and yet he runs away from Eishes Potiphar. He says, "I'm not going to do this avera."
Yaakov was
the Ishtam Yosheval. Yosef defeated Eishes Potiphar on Chanukah. It was Chafei Kislev when it happened. When he ran away. Pasuk says, Vayhi kehayom. It was Chafei Yom. Vayhi kehayom. And he ran away. Vayetze yaso achutza. He ran outside to light his menorah. He left his beged behind. Remember the shir about begadim? Trading your begadim for Ner Chanukah. Yosef is the essence of Chanukah. To have the beautiful body, but to know how to use it in the right way. Again, if Greece will behave themselves, we welcome the men. Yafuso shel yafes, yishkon ba'ol shem. We come from shame, they come from yafes. We invite you in. But it has to be on our terms, not on your terms. It has to be with a clear sense that the neshama is always greater than the guf. Okay, so we thank Rabbi Gedalia Shor for hopefully enlightening our eyes, a little bit of an understanding of the choshech of Yavan. understand the Shvichas Dhamma of Yavan, understand the Hashkacha Pratis, Kiswa Karen Ashur, Sheilachem Chelev Okay Yisrael, Maharal, Karen Ashur represents the Chayda Egel, trying to say that we're not any different, we're not any special. But Vayavdel Elokim Asorah, Hashem separated the Alor from their Choshech. All right, Gevaldik. Thank you. Got to build off of all these ideas. These are building blocks. More you could try.